Hey everybody, this is David, and today we are going to be talking spoiler review for the new Suicide Squad film directed by David Ayer, who directed a great film called Fury and many other action films. And we want to talk about this, all in spoilers. I have with me Derek.
Hello, universe.
And Kevin.
Hello.
And yes, we saw Suicide Squad last night, opening day. We are very excited to talk about it. Very excited to put down some critics.
And it sucked.
And their thoughts about it. And let's do this. Let's talk about Suicide Squad. We're going to start with our positive things first. Then we're going to go into negatives after. And then we're going to go into overall thoughts. So maybe some other things here and there. We'll see. So let's get through this. Let's talk about our positives. What did we like about this movie? I'll start off with this one. I'll say that I really love the cast in this movie. It was a really great cast of actors. And Will Smith as Deadshot, Jared Leto as the Joker, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang, as well as many others, you know. And these guys had great chemistry together. It was just so much fun watching them play off each other, watching them interact with each other, hearing these one-liners. Like, everybody had some really good lines to deliver. Obviously, I think the main focus of this movie was Will Smith as Deadshot and Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie. And I thought they were really well done, and especially Harley Quinn, because Harley Quinn, I was wondering, how are they going to pull off her goofiness and her, you know, her love on the Joker? Because if you watch the animated series, for a cartoon, it works great. But would it work? Would it translate well to live action? That was one of my main concerns. And I'm happy to say that her portrayal of Harley Quinn is so great in this movie. I was like, wow, this is the character that was a cartoon in my childhood, created on Batman the Animated Series, now brought to live action. I was listening to Kevin Smith's review, and he said he talked to Paul Dini at the premiere of Suicide Squad, and apparently he said Paul Dini was crying because he was so happy to see his character, his creation, on the big screen. I thought that was really nice to hear that he was happy about it. And obviously the Joker, man. The Joker and Harley Quinn's romance was really interesting to me. Now, if you go back and watch the animated series or the comics, Joker kind of gets annoyed with Harley Quinn in those other versions. This version, he seems more accepting of her. And there's really not too much for us to really go in depth to that relationship, because we only see the Joker very briefly in this movie. But I like what I saw with that relationship. I felt that chemistry, and I liked it, and I hope they go more in depth to it and maybe see even the abusive side of the Joker, because that's a very important part of that romance, is the romance between Joker, and that Joker verbally and sometimes even physically abuses Harley Quinn, and you feel bad for her, because you see, even in this movie, you see she's not a terrible person. There's a little bit of good in Harley, and that's what makes her not fully evil, where unlike the Joker, he is fully evil. Derek, you want to add in anything?
Yeah, well, just like you mentioned before, we didn't really get too much of that relationship, and obviously if we had a little bit more, it would have been better. Maybe for a future DC release. I was actually also listening to that Kevin Smith review, and he said that there actually might be a Harley Quinn solo movie. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. And yeah, it definitely is something that I could definitely see be successful, and would be a movie that will be on everyone's to look forward to list. I felt that, yeah, they kind of rushed the origin story just a little bit, but a lot of the fans that go to the theater, they know Harley Quinn, they know the origin story. And we got to see at least the good aspects. She helps him escape prison. And then after the best part, I guess, to me with regarding that origin story is when they are on top of Ace Chemicals and the Joker is like, "Would you die for me?" And then Harley Quinn is like, "Yes." But then he's like, "But what's more important, would you live for me?" And I thought that line was very powerful. And then she kind of falls into the vat. She doesn't get pushed in. And she's accepting this new life with him in the ultimate kind of form of love and devotion. And then Joker could have just left. And he was about to leave and just leave her in the chemicals. But then he goes in and dives in back after her. That I thought that was a very cool scene. And they kind of stylized it a little bit with multiple colors and both of them inside the actual chemicals. So it was pretty cool. And they had a lot of iconic costumes as well. You didn't really mention that.
Oh,
They
yeah.
showed a lot of, you could see that they paid attention to the comic books. They had a lot of those cover arts, and Joker was wearing those classic kind of suits that he usually wore in those previous comic book renditions. And we also got to see the Harley Quinn jumpsuit, which again was only briefly there. But it was cool that they showed it. It was cool that they made a nod to the source material. And even though, yes, maybe the jumpsuit wouldn't really look good on the live action, it's more suited for a comic book. At least they got to show it. And then they had their own rendition, which again is quite believable for a real life kind of film, like an actual film. It worked. So I thought it was great. And they had their own spin on the Harley Quinn character, so which is always great whenever they make a slight tweak and the fans accept it, and it is very acceptable if you know and love this character. So I also enjoyed the relationship that they had. They had that great relationship, and you could see that the Joker and Harley kind of love each other. So it is a kind of a mad love. But yeah, again, like you mentioned, it would be nice to have the abuse aside just a little bit sprinkled in here and there. And I guess the two characters seem to be more on kind of a gangster side of things. They're both like, hardcore thugs. They both wear a lot of jewelry, and they did it kind of lavishly and crazy. So it was an interesting take on both those characters. And I guess with Harley Quinn, they really played up the sex appeal, which is something that wasn't really done a lot before. So that was also interesting as well. That she is not only a crazy individual, but she could sometimes seduce the guys that she's with and make them do things that they probably don't want to do, or somehow trick them into doing things that they shouldn't be doing. So that thought that was great as well.
What about you, Kip? Did you like anything? Any specific characters, moments? What are some of your positives?
My positives are, I enjoyed this movie a lot. It was actually really good. I enjoyed a lot of the characters. It was very, and to me, it was very character driven. Deadshot stuck out the most, I think, because he was mainly the lead. Killer Croc was also really good. Harley Quinn, especially. Who else was there? Boomerang didn't. He was fun. He had his funny moments. He was really good too, but he didn't stick out to me as much as other characters did. Amanda Waller was really, really good. So yeah, and the script itself was really good. I maybe thought there's a plot holes, but I'll get to those later. But yeah, I enjoyed this film really well.
Going back on Amanda Waller, I thought she was terrific. And this is actually like the fourth live action version of Amanda Waller. And to see this character finally, I think this is the best version of the character so far. She was first done in live action in Smallville, where I thought she was done good there too. But obviously they had a cheaper budget. And then we saw her in live action again in Green Lantern, which I think that was the worst version of the character so far.
Yeah.
And they killed her off, and they were trying to set her up to be this Nick Fury-type character in that movie, too. And then they killed her, which didn't make sense to me. And then in, obviously, in Arrow, they had her for a couple of seasons, and then they killed her off, too. But that's fine, they had three seasons with her. And now, this version, and I'm glad they kept her alive, and I'm glad, which shows that they might have more plans with her down the road. And I thought the actress did a fantastic job
playing this character. Did you mention the cartoon version, or it's just the live action?
Well, the cartoon version is where I was first introduced to that character, but I'm comparing it more to the live action version.
Okay.
Because if we're comparing it to the animated versions, I think it was very close to Justice League Unlimited.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, she seemed a little bit scarier at this time.
You think so?
Yeah, because there was that, well, being the spoiler review, there was that scene where she kind of deleted all the hard drives of her secret base, and then she killed all the employees that were with her.
That's
so true. Something that is kind of unexpected, and then you, as a movie watcher, you kind of realize, like, oh, Amanda Waller, she's supposed to be a good guy, but is she really the good guy?
Exactly.
Or not. And then again at the end scene where you had Amanda Waller talking to Bruce Wayne, you had that kind of Amanda Waller had her evil bad guys, and she was kind of representing the bad guys side of things, and then you had Bruce Wayne representing the Justice League, kind of the good guys.
Yeah.
And you call them friends, and she said, no, but my guys, I use leverage. Using friends is weak.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So it was kind of interesting, and she does, like, even defend herself, and she seems like she's a big, powerful force, a lady that could take care of herself and knows how to get out of many situations. She's kind of like the Lex Luthor of, you know, Suicide Squad.
Which is funny, because Lex Luthor was in Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
And like, he didn't feel like Lex Luthor at
all. No, that's what I wish Lex Luthor was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a good showing of her, and even a lot of the villains kind of felt intimidated by her.
Yeah.
And then she, even as she was walking past them, there's that one scene.
Specifically with Killer Croc, I remember. Yeah.
She brushed up against him like she didn't even care. She bumped into him. So it's kind of like Amanda Waller, she has no fear.
Yeah, because that Killer Croc, man, he was intimidating. He looked intimidating. Even though there were some comedic moments with him, he was obviously the most intimidating looking. Like, I wouldn't want to be in a room with that guy, because he would bite my head off.
I compare him like the Hulk of this team.
Yeah, yes. Because he was also the most powerful one.
Most powerful, melee-driven, biggest, and then when he did have his fighting scenes, it kind of actually, there was one point where I thought, oh, this looks like that Avengers scene where the Hulk smashes this evil person over and over again.
Yeah.
And then he had that funny one-liners.
Yeah. I agree. And then we have also, let's go a little bit more on Will Smith, because I don't think we've been talking about him too much. And Will Smith, what I thought was great about him, obviously I felt he was more of, he was definitely the anti-hero of this story. The one who had the most redemption, I felt. And the most, obviously, if there was anyone that you could pick of this group that had a chance to have a successful future, it would be his character because of the love of his daughter and how he was trying not to do too many bad things for her sake, for her love, you know? And I actually really like that about his character. And what I also really liked about Will Smith is that a lot of people were worried that when Will Smith was casted in this movie, he was going to try to hog the spotlight from everybody. And even though the movie does focus on his character the most with Harley Quinn, I did feel that this movie still had a fair amount of everybody else. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that's what I liked about it. It didn't feel like that it was all Will Smith, you know what I mean? And, yeah, so what about you guys? What did you... Give a little bit more on Deadshot, if you can.
Me?
Yeah, sure.
So, I guess he was a good rendition of the comic books. He's an assassin killer, and he has contracts. But he also has a bit of a code. He won't kill women and children. That's what he mentioned. Mm-hmm. So that's quite interesting as well. I think the first part where we see him in the prison and how like they gave him a couple of guns, and then he's like, are you guys serious? And he almost killed that police cop that was taunting him throughout the whole beginning sequence. That was quite fun, and he could have literally killed him right there. So it was very interesting. And then I guess they incorporated his intro scene with a lot of interesting music and kind of showed what he's capable of. And I think this is probably, with the exception of Marvel's Arrow, like that Hawkeye, he definitely showed that he has very good aim. So I thought that was really cool. And then there's that awesome, cool scene, action scene, where he's fighting the bad guys, and he just goes, like, ballistic, and he seems very badass in that aspect, in that moment. But then you have those lighthearted, not lighthearted moments with Harley Quinn, and they show that he has kind of a chemistry with her as well, which was interesting, and it kind of seemed like if they really wanted to, they could have went into a direction where like that animated series of Suicide Squad where Harley Quinn kind of dumps the Joker and she could actually fall in love with Deadshot. And that kind of... It was kind of a hint. You had to kind of look for that.
Yeah, I noticed that myself a little bit.
Yeah. You felt it, at least. Mm-hmm. And then, he had his relationship with his daughter and you want to see more of what happens. I don't really follow the comic books that much, but I heard there's a lot more of stuff that happens to his daughter, so it's quite interesting to get to learn more about that. Maybe there will be a Suicide Squad 2 where that will be shown a little bit more. And it's funny how Amanda Waller uses his daughter as leverage, and he has that human side to him, and that's quite interesting. And then how his daughter was used against him by Enchantress was also interesting, and how he was also used against him when Batman showed up. So he's a good character. He's a complex character. He has a lot of those gunplay as well, like Kevin Smith was saying, a lot of action with him, and he was a good performance, and he definitely brought a lot of the stuff that many fans like about Will Smith into it. Mm-hmm. And I would say this is his best superhero film that he created.
Well, the only other superhero film he did was Hancock, yeah, which I enjoyed. I liked Hancock. But yes, this one was definitely, I think, a lot better. And what about you, Kev? What did you think? What else do you want to add on to Deadshot?
Not much else. I agree with Derek on the character, and he was one of the highlights of the movie. Mm-hmm. And also the relationship with Harley Quinn, yeah.
And I noticed we also didn't talk much about Diablo, too. I want to talk about this character also, because a lot of people have been calling him a highlight, and I have to agree, man. Going into this movie, I didn't think I was going to like Diablo. I thought he was going to be the least favorite character of mine. And then you find out, like, he doesn't want to use his powers for some reason early on in the beginning. And when you're questioning that, like, why does he want to use his powers? I thought he was a bad guy. You find out he's not so bad towards the end, you know? When you find out his backstory in that he killed his family by accident, you know? Because of his anger issues, I guess. And then you realize, wow, this guy's not so bad after all, you know? And you actually feel sympathy for him. And I thought that was really great. It really made that character a lot more interesting than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was just going to be a thug, kicking ass and all that, and being an asshole once in a while. But no, he was completely the opposite of what I was expecting going into this movie. Kev, what did you think of Diablo?
I thought he was a cool character. Yeah, I agree with you that he was kind of the wild card type of thing. Like, you thought he was going to be like this old hipster, not hipster, wow, my words, kind of cool guy and all hot-headed and such and such, and he ended up being like the guy who didn't want to use his powers. Yeah, I thought he was a interesting character, and when he turns into that thing at the end, that giant thing, yeah, to battle the thing, was actually really cool as well.
Yeah, I agree. What about you, Derek?
He is a good character. He brings a kind of a balance to the team, whereas you would think a criminal team would all be guys that are thieves and crooks. He's kind of like, he had his evil past, and he wanted to get away from it. He wanted to change, it looked like, and that's kind of how you felt with this character. And that's good that they had that. Not everyone wanted to be break free kind of thing from Amanda Waller's control. Mm-hmm. And he was like, maybe this is my chance to redeem myself. And that's why he seemed kind of like that bad guy who's trying to turn good. And that's what this team needed. Because everyone, it seemed like Will Smith needed convincing. Killer Croc was kind of like the brute force bad guy. Who was like, you know, one of those damaged creatures. He's that person that he made a couple mistakes and now he wants to get rid of it. Harley Quinn was kind of the crazy one who will always be like kind of in that situation. The situation will define how she acts. And then you had Captain Boomerang was more of the selfish one. So each of these characters had personality and had kind of the attitude that came with them. So that's what really made, I think, this movie a surprise for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that the critics kind of gave it a little bit of a harsh review because this movie is more about the characters. Yeah, we could talk about the plot later on, but this is what the movie is about, and I think it does a good job. And I don't think this will be the last time we see these characters. Mm-hmm. So I think Diablo is good, and maybe he could be this up-and-coming person that will just surprise a lot of fans.
Yeah.
And the more we get to learn about him, his backstory, maybe what he wants to do in the future. But yeah, he's quite interesting because compared to all the other other villains, he's actually the only one with powers if you take away Enchantress.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting, and they kind of refer to him as a metahuman, which I guess that's what DC's now rolling with, is like everyone is a metahuman that has the powers. So
yeah,
you could kind of say Deadshot has powers too, but it seems a little bit less of a superpower kind of say. Deadshot more has good aim. He needs tools.
I agree. So. I also really liked Katana in this movie, but I feel like there wasn't enough of her to really talk about her much. I don't know, unless you guys want to...
She was kind of the weakest character or the weakest link. Well, to be honest, it wasn't only Katana that was a weak character. It also was that other dude that came part of the Suicide Squad.
Oh, Slipknot.
Slipknot,
that's who,
yeah,
I think they called him.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith was talking about him in his review, too.
He was, I think, probably maybe the worst characters. No one knew what he was doing. He just came in, and he was like, I'm a thug. And then, but we all kind of had a feeling that he might, because they didn't spend a lot of time with this character, he might be the first one to get killed.
Yeah.
He might be the one to try to escape and then get made an example of. And that's what his character served.
Yeah, he felt like an afterthought.
Yeah, and maybe kind of sucked that they at least didn't try to do something with him. They didn't try to make him kind of special or in a way unique from all the characters, and they kind of just like, okay, well, this is what happens when you try to leave, and let's focus on the main people. And Katana, again, she was, I guess, maybe the second weakest, and it's kind of odd. You know that her husband was killed by the Japanese mafia using this secret special sword that captured his soul, and then that's pretty much about it regarding her character. You don't really know why she's there, what she's trying to do, if she's trying to, what kind of role that she really, really plays in this. Like, why would she go on these suicidal missions? Why did she want to keep killing people? Maybe they could have explained that she has a kind of Batman complex where she has to stop bad guys, and she has to feel like she has to do it for her husband who is trapped in the sword. I don't know, but yeah, she was also on Arrow as well. Mm-hmm. And every time I kept seeing her character, I kept remembering about the Arrow episodes. And that, for me, I didn't really enjoy those episodes with her in it, but that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the character in this movie. I just wish they would have gave her a little bit more focus. That's pretty much it for me on her. What about you, Kev? Anything you want to add, or...
No, I agree with you about Katana. I kind of agree with both of you. She was a little bit underdeveloped, but I still enjoyed her. I guess I kind of understood why she didn't get that much development, because she was kind of thrown in halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's not much you can do with a character like that.
Yeah,
but I think she served more of a her purpose was more to be like, what do you call, like the reinforcement to the good guys.
Yeah,
to make sure everyone stays in line type of thing. And she served that purpose, and I think that's why I didn't have much of a problem with her. But yeah, I wish maybe in maybe later movies we can explore her origins like Arrow did.
Yeah. And before...
What about Captain Boomerang?
I guess we kind of talked about him. But yeah, I guess we can talk about him now. I thought Captain Boomerang was great. I thought he was a lot of fun. And Jai Courtney, you know, Jai Courtney, the actor that played him, I haven't been impressed with a lot of his performances in previous films. Like, he was in the first movie I ever saw him in was A Good Day to Die Hard, the worst Die Hard movie. And he was also in Terminator Genesis as Kyle Reese. And so he never really impressed me as an actor. I didn't think he was awful, like some people think he is. But I will admit, he was a highlight for me in this movie. I thought Captain Boomerang was hilarious. I thought he had most of the funny moments. And it was the way he was introduced in the beginning with the Flash cameo. Flash is the one that apprehends him. And I did a theory video on how the Flash would be introduced. And I knew it would be tied with Captain Boomerang, and I thought it was great that they put him there as the one. I thought he would deliver him to the prison, though, and drop him off in the duffel bag, and because we saw that scene where he comes out of the bag and punches a cop. I thought that's how the Flash would deliver him in a duffel bag and then just drop him off. Obviously, that didn't happen that way, but I still enjoyed his character. I thought he was great. What about you, Derek?
He was funny. Like, there's that, being a spoiler review, there's that one scene where the captain, Captain Flagg, I think, that's
Rick Flagg.
He's like, oh, well, I don't need to be always on watch with you, and I'm going to destroy this system that allows me to blow up your heads if you defy my order or the good guy's order. And then all of a sudden you have Captain Boomerang just like, okay, I'm out of here, and he left. And that was quite funny.
Yeah.
And So I think that was probably the highlight for that character. Yeah, again, he was still unexplored. He just reminded me of that kind of criminal that like he wants to rob places, get rich, steal things. He very similar to Captain Cold, but not as calculative. So that was quite interesting.
And he is a Flash villain. He's part of the Rogues in the Flash comics. And most of the Flash's villains are like that. They're not as bad as they seem. And so I think that kind of follows. That could give us an idea of how the Flash movie will be. Like, they're just petty criminals that want to torment the Flash a little bit, you know? Have fun tormenting him.
Although I didn't get, maybe because I don't know a lot about Captain Boomerang, but that unicorn plush doll that he carried around with him, that wasn't really explained.
Yeah, what was up with that?
No, apparently, you know, when they were introducing the characters one by one in the beginning and they showed the stats of them, apparently they showed under his stats fetish. He has a fetish for plushed unicorns.
That's very strange. But I felt all those intros to be, like, they were good, but they were kind of quick, so I couldn't really read all the text. But yeah, he was good. He needed, again, a little bit more backstory. He didn't really get that treatment. But for what he was worth, he was okay. And he had that iconic look. He had that those boomerangs embroidered on his jacket, so that was kind of a throwback to how he looked in the comic books a little bit.
It was very. Sorry. No, you go first.
And he seemed like more the New 52 type, where he's kind of like an older Irishman, and I wish we got to see a little bit more of his bow and arrow, though. That was pretty cool. I'm not bow and arrow, the boomerang.
I was gonna say, it was very different from the Arrow and Flash version of Captain Boomerang. If you remember the very first time Flash and Arrow crossed over, Captain Bo yeah, Boomerang was used in the Arrow episode of the crossover, and he obviously they played it a little bit more straight in that episode, but I thought this version really worked for this movie. And that's what I really liked about it. What about you, Kev? Want to touch on Boomerang?
I'll just add in that, yeah, he was a very interesting character. Maybe not as developed as other characters, but he served his purpose.
The comedic relief.
Yeah, the comedic relief.
And with that, let's get into a little bit of negatives now. I think we talked a lot about some of our positives and the positives about each of these characters. But with every movie, you know, no movie is perfect. And so, Derek, start off. What didn't you like about the movie? What was something that might have bothered you a little bit or.
The biggest thing?
Yeah.
So, of course, it has to be with the evil bad guy and kind of the ending, what the evil bad guy was doing, which is essentially she created this machine, which didn't really look like a machine, but whatever, and it opened kind of like a big portal in the sky, and that she had her army go after kind of the anti-heroes after Suicide Squad. And I felt like I've seen that before
Yes.
many times. I felt like I've seen that in Avengers. I felt like I've seen that in Ghostbusters. I felt like I've seen that in Ninja Turtles.
Even the Fantastic Four reboot did that.
And it just seemed kind of cheesy. It seemed kind of lame. It didn't really add anything new that we haven't seen before. There were maybe some aspects of her character that were a little bit different. But overall, it didn't seem like a strong villain, a villain that you could really relate to and cope with. Like, they had a little bit of with Rick Flag and how he had his love of his life trapped by the Enchantress, and he had the relationship with her, and then they tried to control her, and that part was okay, but just the ending seemed kind of weird. Like what they were trying to accomplish, like take over the world, and then what was going to happen? Have the humans bow down to them? It seemed like it was really strange. And yeah, just so much over the top CGI. And it was just for those villains, maybe, I don't know, I think I read a review. It would have been better if this was maybe a second or third movie villain, not a first movie villain. It would have been better if you had someone a little bit more on their page, someone a little bit more grounded and less over the top, I found.
Well, I actually like that they were trying to incorporate magic into the universe because I think eventually we're gonna need it at some point, right? But the way it was handled, like I liked Enchantress in the beginning of the movie, before she went rogue and did her own thing. I did like her in the beginning. She was creepy. There was some element, like when she transformed into the Enchantress for the first time, that was really cool. And yeah, her connection to Rick Flag seemed really interesting as well. And then even when they showed us a little bit of her origin and how she became the Enchantress, I thought I liked that mythology. I thought it was a good setup for her. But then when she released her brother and stuff like that, that's where it kind of got a little weird for me. Especially at the end when she was doing like a wavy dance with her arms. I'm like, what is she doing, dancing? It seemed a little funny to me. I thought that was in the CGI. You're right. It didn't seem very good in that moment either. I like the fight with Diablo and her brother. You know when Diablo turned into like a fire monster? I thought that was good. But then the fight with her was the thing that like, yeah, this is a little cheesy, I'm gonna admit. Kevin, anything you want to add in?
Yeah, she was very underdeveloped. The Enchantress we're talking about, right? Yeah. I found that she was like the weak point in the movie. Very underdeveloped and not even worth the time at times, type of thing. Yeah, that's all I got to say, I guess.
For me, like, I just wish she was used a little bit more to add to the whole DC expanded universe. Maybe she could have created a machine that connects our world to, like, some other planet. Maybe it could even be that planet that maybe has some kind of weird aliens to it. Well, I know it would be a little bit similar to Avengers, but it will have, what am I trying to get at? It's not Apocalypse, it's
Darkseid?
Darkseid, yeah. If she could be connected somehow to Darkseid and connect to his planet or try to do something about it, or maybe signal Darkseid, it would have been a little bit more interesting, just so that it's kind of setting up that, oh, Darkseid is coming, and Enchantress was probably one of those people that maybe lured Darkseid a little bit more to Earth and caused him to take a little bit more interest. And that would have been a little bit better use of her character if they just tied it in a little bit more. And if she just seemed like a smart, witty character, like kind of like a female Loki. I know you're copying Marvel here, but it would have been cool if she was that kind of powerful. Like, she didn't just shoot kind of weird, like tentacles or weird, I don't even know what kind of magic that was. It seemed like it was she was shooting kind of like weird metal ice at people. If she was just had a little bit more of an interesting aspect, and she was interesting when she would teleport between people. Again, it just wasn't there. It would have been better if she did more trickery magic.
Or even a little bit more story to her, I find. Like, if they gave her a little bit more screen time.
It just feels that the next movie that we're going to have, and again, we're comparing Marvel, Doctor Strange villain might have what Enchantress should be in this movie.
I have a feeling, yeah.
I have a feeling like if we got Doctor Strange's villain that we're going to see in the movie coming up, if we had that kind of style in this movie, then it would have been a little bit better. like a person that could really change reality or cause, you know, some kind of weird magic to happen to the characters, and they have to think outside the box to take her down.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny because DC always pushes that they have the best villains in their comics, but they don't. Obviously, well, it's interesting because, yeah, the ones that were trying to do good were the standout villains, I guess, of the story, right? But then the one that was actually the villain of this story didn't really showcase that. But like I said, I thought her mythology in the beginning, how they were setting her up, seemed to be going in the right way at first, but then obviously they dropped the ball a little bit towards the end there. Is there anything else negative we want to talk about, guys? Or is that about it? I think every time I hear people talk about their reviews, it's always about the ending. Like, everybody's on the same page about what the weakest link was in this movie. Is there anything else, though? Or
a lot of people mentioned that the editing of this movie was pretty bad.
It didn't bother me. I didn't notice the editing is bad. I was expecting something worse, and I didn't notice.
I guess because a lot of people were mentioning everything was just too quick, like things jump cut, like from one scene to another scene to another scene.
Yeah, that I could see. Okay,
but I don't think that was a huge issue for me, for us.
No,
I noticed it, but it didn't bother me. Type of thing.
So it seems like it didn't bother us as much as.
So maybe. Maybe it'll be like Batman vs. Superman, where they will create a longer version and put more of what the entire story would be out there, and it might be an extra half hour, an hour of content that is interesting.
Yeah, that is a possibility. I would like to see an ultimate cut, personally. I liked the Batman vs. Superman ultimate cut. I didn't like it. I mean, I liked it a lot. I liked it more than the original cut of Batman v Superman, but then again, I never really had a problem with Batman v Superman to begin with. But from what I heard there might even be a different tone with the original version of Suicide Squad. So I'd be very interested if that is true, that it is a different tone entirely, like maybe a darker tone. I would be totally interested to check out that version. Specifically since, but I think this is the version that people want. I have a feeling this will be the version people will want, because the thing that people complained about with Batman v Superman, most people I've seen anyways, complained about how dark and serious it is. And so if you are someone that I think that didn't like the dark tone that Batman v Superman took, I think you will be pleased more with Suicide Squad. I think this is the right balance they need to take. And it looks like Justice League will have that style, you know what I mean? It's going to be a little gritty, but it's also going to have more humor here and there in it if you watch that trailer. So I think they are seeing the tone in Suicide Squad, and I think they will try to make that the tone. And it's still different from Marvel. Marvel is lighter in tone too, but it's more, I don't want to say for, it's not for, it's for everybody, you know? And I think this style is still for everybody too, but there's still something different about it that separates itself from Marvel.
I feel that, again, I think we were talking about it, this style is more for a little bit more mature kids. I wouldn't really say I could take a 5-year-old to this movie.
Maybe teenagers.
Yeah, because this does have a lot of guns and does have people getting shot in the head and people dying and stuff like that. So it definitely has, and there are creepy moments in this whole film and moments that are adults. And so I think that's what DC is trying to pitch. And I guess that's because of The Dark Knight, and it was just something that was much different between all the other superhero movies. Dark Knight was a little bit darker, and DC was like, oh, we're going to have to stay to this formula. And that's what really DC is doing with their films, and then Marvel kind of a little bit went for, yeah, we could go towards the darkness side, but we want to make sure that we have the kids, and do kids like enjoy Iron Man and all the different heroes so that we could sell toys to them. And they came up for a little bit more smarter approach, whereas DC is taking it more for the older audience, I find.
Yeah, and I feel like Batman v Superman, I think they were trying to make it for a much older audience, and maybe that's why it didn't hit as big as it did. But this movie, because let's admit it, the people that are seeing movies the most in theaters are the teenage audience, are the young adult audience, the ones that are mostly around their 15 years of age to maybe 25, 26. Those are the target audience for the theaters. If we go that, like if I go, I'm 33 right now, I'm a plus on their side. That means yes, you come too, extra cash for us. And so yeah, I think this movie will definitely please the younger crowds, where I think Batman v Superman, you have to pay attention to that movie to really appreciate it, I think. And this movie, you still have to pay attention, but I mean, like, you can have a little bit more fun with it. Kev?
I agree. This movie was fun to watch. Yeah. Not
So,
much to add.
that's why the critics, I find it's unjust that they gave it such a low score, like a 27. Like, they didn't have any fun watching this movie. Clearly, us, like, watching this, we had fun. We talked about the characters, we enjoyed the characters and the interactions. It had a lot of great action. It was a good time. We were smiling the whole time. We were never bored or, like, senseless. And that's why I think a lot of the critics are maybe coming it from a different perspective. Maybe coming it with they don't really like superhero movies, or I don't know. It seemed like they were just it's just so disappointing that this movie is not getting the credit that it deserves, because 27% is a huge failure. That's a huge bomb. That's something that, like, it just you shouldn't see this movie. You have to hate this movie. This movie sucks. Like, I had a terrible time. I wish I had a refund, but I didn't feel that way with this movie. I felt like I came in, I enjoyed the characters, I had fun. It was good action. It was, like, well shot. There was a lot of cool aspects of the movie, like just the little details on Harley Quinn and the tattoos that each of the character, like some of the characters, had on. And it's just visually a great movie to look at, minus maybe some of the CGI later on. But it was interesting. And again, being from Toronto and seeing that Toronto landscape, we have to mention that.
I keep forgetting that the movie was, when we were watching it anyways, I kept forgetting that it was filmed in Toronto. So, I mean, that's how good they, because sometimes, like, The Incredible Hulk and X-Men, the original X-Men, were also filmed in Toronto, and I see locations that I'm like, oh yeah, that's Casa Loma, or that's Toronto University, whatever. And with this movie, I didn't notice any locations. I know they filmed in locations that I know of, but I didn't notice it.
Actually, I noticed it a lot.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I noticed there's like a building that I'm like, oh, that's a KPMG building. I know where that is. I've been outside of that building before. They showed Yonge and Dundas Square a couple times. They show the harbor when the car scene. They showed going down Yonge Street. So they had a few in there. They had the subway scenes
The subway scene.
were very reminiscent of TTC, subway in Toronto. Although I think maybe it was filmed on a separate track, or maybe late at night on a track, and they just changed the signs around. But yeah, it doesn't deserve such a low score. It's meaning that there's no redeemable qualities. This movie is just should be forgotten and should not be it. The movie did stuff. It brought anti-heroes to the light. It assembled them in a team. That was a first. That's something that this film should be proud of. Its film should be proud of that it brought characters like Deadshot and Killer Croc and Boomerang to the light, and made them a little bit more well-known characters. It introduced Diablo, which I didn't even know, and they made him a new character, and they spun him off interestingly, and again, the first rendition of Harley Quinn, and having a Joker that a lot of people were okay with. A lot of people didn't hate the Joker. Some people thought the Joker would be terrible.
Some people, like myself, wanted to see more of him.
Yeah, and they did a good job with the Joker. They people were interested. So there's a lot of positives that I think the critics are not seeing, and they're just going, I don't know why they're just throwing this under the bus. And it's really sad because some people, like I mentioned before, they'll just look at that critic score and just say, well, there'd be a chance that I might not like it, so I'm not going to bother. I'd rather see something that the critics gave a 7 out of 10 and the audience also gave a 7 out of 10. At least I know that's a good movie and worth my time. And then with them, it's like, oh, well, the critics gave it a low score, so I might be taking a risk here, so I'm not going to go for that risk. I'll see something that got a 9 out of 10 or something, and that's kind of unfortunate. And that's it will hurt the movie. Even though that a lot of people say it won't, I think it will hurt the movie. Again, like Batman vs Superman, it could have done a little bit better.
That movie got more hate than it deserved also.
Yeah, and again, it's weird how we're all thinking it might be a conspiracy. But
it would make sense if it was. But obviously it's not. Nobody is paying the critics to give bad reviews to DC, because if anybody found out about that, that company or whatever would be in trouble. They would be in very big trouble if someone found out they were paying off critics. I don't know what the deal is with critics and the DC films right now. Obviously, not all DC movies have gotten bad reviews, but the DC Universe, the one they're trying to start now, starting with Man of Steel and onward, yeah, those ones are having a little bit of a rough time with critics, and it doesn't make sense to a lot of people. You know, Man of Steel, I still think is a brilliant movie. Every time I watch it, I love it. I still think it's the best of these DC movies right now. Yesterday I said Batman v Superman was better than Suicide Squad, but after sleeping on it, I'm ready to say that, no, maybe Suicide Squad was a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've been enjoying all three films so far, and I can't wait for Wonder Woman, and I can't wait for Justice League. I have a feeling they're going to be great, and somehow, for some reason, critics are going to be hard on those two also.
But this also makes the studio, like, they probably would want to try to please more people.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably would be like, okay, what are we doing wrong? What do we need to fix? What do we need to change? Like, we want to obviously have everyone giving us 9s out of 10. So how come we can't be like the Marvel side? What should we implement in our formula? And then it's something that I don't think they need to do, and then that could actually create terrible movies in itself.
Yeah. As long as they... Well, let's look at the negative part. What was the negative part? It was the villain, right? So as long as they put a better villain in Wonder Woman and in Justice League, keep the tone of this movie. Maybe fix the editing. I don't know. I have a feeling it was more to do with the editing, and that's why critics maybe have given the movie a bad review. Maybe some of them did think it was okay, but couldn't give it a fresh review because maybe the editing that did take them out, you know? Maybe the villain did take them out of the movie. I don't know. It's really a confusing thing. And you can read all the critics, but one critic called it worse than Fantastic Four and worse than Catwoman. And that's where I'm like, really? Really? You didn't enjoy it more than those two? Come on.
Some people even said it's the worst film ever. Like, don't even... Like, if you hate someone, make them go see the movie.
And I'm not a DC... You know, I'm not just pro... I'm only DC. I'm only Marvel. I love all superhero films. And I will say, you know, Green Lantern, to me, wasn't great. I didn't enjoy... I tried watching it again, and I fell asleep. So, Batman and Robin, crap movie. So I'm not just saying this because, yeah, I'm only DC, man, you know? Because people feel like they have to take sides sometimes. Like, I'm Marvel, I'm DC. Why can't we just appreciate all of it and have fun with all of it? It's a great time to be a fan. I don't get it. You guys want to add in anything? Or should we close this up now?
I got nothing else to add. You pretty much wrapped it up pretty good.
Okay. The humor was good.
So
it was
funny. Let's give our scores and final thoughts on this movie. Kevin, go first.
I give it a 7 out of 10. And yeah, I fully agree with you, David, on how the critics are being too harsh on it. I say I enjoyed this movie and go watch it.
Derek?
I was back and forth between 7.5 and 8. But you know what? I'll give it an 8.
Woo! And final thoughts?
I think, you know, like you were saying, like a lot of people say, go in with an open mind, check it out for yourself, and give it a shot. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to be as disappointing as I think many people are making out to be. Be the judge for yourself. And again, if you like the source material, if you like comic books, if you like the, you know, and you like these characters, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I think you'll have a good time.
Mm-hmm. And I am also giving it an 8 out of 10. I really had a great time with this movie. You know, and the DC universe, or cinematic universe, is getting a bad rap. But just remember this. It's not only the critics that matter. It is also the audience that matters. And on Rotten Tomatoes right now, Suicide Squad has a 26%. And you know what the audience rating is? It's the complete opposite. It's a 74% on Rotten Tomatoes for the audience. So this clearly shows there's a huge disconnect with the audience and the critics for the DC films. It's not only Suicide Squad, but even with Man of Steel, has a 53%, I believe, on Rotten Tomatoes, and the audience rating is like 72%. And even Batman v Superman has a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes, and the audience score is a 66%. So clearly, there is a disconnect between the audience rating and the critic rating. And it shows that don't just listen to critics. Listen to everybody. Listen to a lot of people, what a lot of people are saying. Listen to myself. Listen to Derek. Listen to Kevin. Because we have opinions too. And it could be similar to yours. You don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe you guys will differ on opinions. But I think you need to listen and go in with your own mind. And with that being said, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Let's sign off. Derek?
I'm Derek. I'll see you later.
Kevin?
I'm Kevin. You can catch me on Kevin underscore Jordao on Twitter, and check out my website, kevinjordao.com.
And I am David, a.k.a. The Batman. I am the real Batman. And I am signing off. Check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/ David Jordao. Check me out on Twitter, at iCrazyDavy. And with that being said, guys, take care.
Peace.